So what does the case of the Mariagappan family say about Australia's refugee system and how well Australia observes its international obligations to refugees? Well, Professor Jane McAdam is the founder and director of the Caldor Centre for International Refugee Law at the University of New South Wales. Today, she's been appointed an Officer of the Order of Australia, an AO, in the Queen's Birthday Honours for her service to international refugee law, particularly the climate dimension. I congratulated her on that honour.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's really a great honour, and I'm so grateful for your interest and support.
You've led the Caldor Centre to international standing on questions of refugee law, and yet the political climate for refugees has seemed increasingly hostile globally for years now. What impact is your work having to benefit refugees?
Well, I think what a centre like ours can do is provide that long-term, clear-eyed, independent thinking and analysis to try and find and drive sustainable, legal and humane solutions. And through partnerships that we have with international organisations, NGOs, people who've themselves experienced displacement, and scholars around the world, I think together we really can try and make that difference and draw on comparative historical practices that are happening overseas, as well as great examples from our own history in Australia when we used to do refugee protection a lot better than we do now.
I mean, right at the moment in Australia, the case of the Mariagappan family is in the spotlight, the Biluwila family. What's your take? I know you're not involved in the case, but what does that case tell us about Australia's approach and the good and the bad of it?
Well, I think whichever way you look at the situation now, it doesn't make any sense as a matter of law, ethics, psychology, economics, to keep people in the situation that they're in. And we've got two young girls who were born in Australia. This is the only place they've ever known. They're not a risk to our national security. There's a community that dearly wants them back, that values that family so much and loves that family. And I think, as a former Chief Justice of the High Court of Australia, Sir Gerard Brennan, said earlier this week, you know, what we're seeing now is deliberate cruelty. This isn't the unintended consequence of a policy, but rather the absolute aim of the policy to try and deter people. And you know, this is not deterring anyone. This is damaging lives of that family, of those young girls, but also of the broader Australian community and the fabric of our community.
And what about the process itself? Is Australia in line with its international obligations when it comes to the legal steps towards determining whether somebody is a refugee or not? For example, in the case of this family who've been through the whole process.
Well, it depends. I mean, Australia has a long-standing refugee status determination procedure, but that's been chipped away and altered over the years. Australia's system has gradually taken out references to international law such that international obligations can be ignored when it comes to people being removed or not. And there was a recent bill in the last couple of weeks that purported to clarify Australia's international legal obligations, but arguably, it did the exact opposite. It's just made them more and more murky. And so what we start to have is a statutory scheme that is divorced from all the international laws that Australia voluntarily signed up to. And it's ironic that it was Australia's signature that brought the Refugee Convention into effect in the 1950s. And over the years, Australia had done a great deal to provide wonderful resettlement opportunities for refugees and really to make people part of our community. But the last 20 years or so, I think, have been a real stain on that international reputation.
There are many countries racked by conflict producing vast people movements. We already have 80 million, I think, forcibly displaced people in the world, 26 million refugees. And then on top of that, we have climate change. Now, this is an area of your specialty. Are we putting in place the mechanisms we need to be in place to deal with the people movement effects of climate change?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think in the last decade, there's been enormous movement at the global level to try and address this phenomenon, at least rhetorically. There has also been some good practices emerging in the Americas, for example, where countries in Central America recognised that each of them had people displaced across international borders during disasters, and it was in their own interest to try and provide a more systemic way of dealing with that rather than scrambling each time a disaster happened. In 2018, we saw the Global Compact on Refugees and the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly and Regular Migration being adopted at the international level. And both of these include specific language on the need for states to start to address movement in the context of disasters, climate change and environmental degradation. The COVID pandemic has provided a moment when Australia really needs to look at the role that migration plays here, and particularly from the Pacific, and that's where I think Australia could do a lot more, building on its existing links and programs with the Pacific to provide more pathways for people to move from small island states, whether on a temporary basis for work, but I think more importantly with a pathway to permanence if that's what people wish.
Professor Jane McAdam, thank you very much for joining us today.
An absolute pleasure, Linda. Thank you so much.
And Jane is the director of the Caldor Centre for International Refugee Law, today awarded an AO in the Queen's Birthday Honours.